New Year's, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, Father's Day, all kinds of days that the people have invented. And what is our position as Muslims in regards to that? The khutbah began with a quotation or an introduction. This introduction is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Islamic legislation one which distinguishes Islam from all other religions and faiths, philosophies, ideologies and what have you. We are unique. And Islam was meant to make us unique. We don't share anything with anyone when it comes to religious rights. The evidence for that, we have many evidences. From the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. From the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, follow that which has been sent down upon you from your Lord, and do not follow any other allies. Little do you remember. So in this ayah, Allah commanded us that we should follow whatever He sent down. And the question which was asked from the minbar, and which you can answer now, what did Allah send down? What did Allah send down? Quran and hadith. Good. Quran and sunnah. Sahih? The hadith is like the wagon, the vehicle for the sunnah to come to us. It's like the means of transportation. Allah sent down the Quran and the sunnah, which means Allah is commanding the believers, the Muslims, all of them, follow what we send down, the Quran and the sunnah. That's the command. Then He forbade us from doing something else. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا. And do not follow anything. Dun is below. Don't follow anything which is below Him and make them allies. Meaning any ideology, any creed, any religion, any celebration which is not stipulated in the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah told us, don't do it. Then He told us the outcome, the result, the fact that we see with our own eyes, قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, little do you remember. And that's the truth. Few are the people who adhere and observe these divine instructions, and the majority, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ, except those whom Allah has given specific mercy, they actually wind up doing exactly that. They ignore the Quran and the Sunnah, and they follow awliya, besides Allah. In hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he drew a straight line with his finger. And he said, this is the path of Allah, straight. Then he drew lines on the right and the left of this straight line. He said, these are other paths. There isn't a single one of them, except that at the head, at the tip of this way, there isn't anyone except that there's a shaitan calling you to him. Shaytanun yad'u ilayhi, meaning imma yad'u ila sabil aw ila nafsih. Any path other than the Quran and the Sunnah, there's a devil. This devil can be a sheikh, can be maulana, can be whatever. If he's calling you to other than the Quran and the Sunnah, he is a shaitan calling you either to himself or calling you to a path, his path, which will lead to Jahannam. That's why we have to strictly adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then we have made you upon a legislation of command. فَاتَّبِعْهَا. So follow it strictly. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And do not follow the desires, the whims of those who know not. So Allah said that they are ignorant, juhal, la ya'lamun, and they are ahlu ahwa, they are people of desires. So when you turn away from the Quran and the Sunnah and the minhaj which Allah gave to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in other words, you are following some ignorant person who's following his desires. So you become an ignorant person following your desires. That's the natural consequence. That's why Allah said in another ayah, وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكَ الرَّسُولُ, whoever contradicts the messenger, after the guidance has become clear to him, and he follows a path other than that of the believers, we will allow him to take this path, then we will place him in the hellfire, and what an evil abode. This meaning is further fortified when Allah said to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, warning him and warning us, and if you were to follow their desires after the knowledge which has been given to you, you will find no one who will protect you from Allah and no one who will preserve you. Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, if you take a path other than the one which the ilm, which Allah sent to you, you will find no one that will be able to protect you or save you. If this is to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, what do we say about ourselves? We will be in a very difficult situation if we don't follow that guidance. Now, the issue of celebrations, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, the Hijrah, when he arrived, he saw that the people had 2 days on which they would celebrate. 2 days of festivities and celebrations. He said, what are these 2 days? What is the nature of this celebration of yours? They said to him, these are days we used to play during in Jahiliyyah, before Islam. These 2 days were days where we would have some sort of festival. Now, the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام could have done what the ulama say, sunnah taqririyah. He could have approved it. He could have said, okay, keep them, and you also have Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. However, he did not approve it. Rather, he said to them, verily Allah has replaced these 2 days for you with days khayr, which are superior and better than them. Then he named them Eid al-Adha wa Eid al-Fitr. Yawm al-Adha wa Yawm al-Fitr. The ulama, when they look at this hadith and they analyze the wording, the terminology, they look at the usage of the word abdal. Abdalakum. From yubaddil, baddala, tabdil. You probably have come across this word in your daily context. It means replacement. It doesn't mean adding something with something. Example, you have a car and your battery, the battery of the car goes out. When you replace the car, when you replace the battery, do you put the new one next to the old one? What do you do? Take out the old one, put in the new one. That's what replacement means. If you combine them, okay, you will combine them. Tabdil necessitates removing the old, placing the new. Otherwise, linguistically, you cannot call it tabdil. So he said to the Sahaba, abdalakum, he has replaced for you. These 2 days that you were celebrating in Jahiliyyah, throw it in the trash. What Allah gave you in replacement is Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. He didn't mention any other Eid. Because of that, one hadith, the ulama understand that you may not celebrate any other celebration and that we Muslims don't have any other Eid. We don't have anything else. We said Jumu'ah, they say, is the week, the Eid of the Isbu', but it is not like the Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, where you put on a particular garment. Of course, you look nice for Jumu'ah, but it is not as Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. It's a weekly kind of Eid. So we learn from this hadith, that you as a Muslim cannot engage or collaborate or assist or get involved in any other kind of celebration in any way, shape or form. Nothing. You have nothing to do with it. Even if you go back to your home country and they're celebrating Christmas, and they tell you, can you just show me where the church is? Or can you tell me which one of your family members has the celebration? You're not allowed to answer. You cannot tell them it's at my uncle's house, because you have helped them in engaging in this act of disbelief. In another hadith, the hadith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in the hadith when Abu Bakr entered upon the Prophet alayhi sallam, there were two young girls that were beating that deaf and they were doing nasheed. He told him alayhi salatu wasalam, verily every qawm, every group of people, every nation has a Eid, and this is our Eid. Speaking of Eid al-Fitr. Now again in the terminology, li kulli, the lamb in the language here indicates exclusivity. In Arabic they call hasr. Exclusivity meaning it is exclusive. Meaning every religion, every people have exclusively their religion and we have our exclusive religion. And you know what exclusive means? It is special to us. We don't come to any common grounds with each other. This is exclusively my right as a manager to fire, meaning no one has the right to fire anyone but me, because it is my exclusive right. Both wordings of the hadith then suggest that you have your own Eid and you don't involve yourself in any other Eid. Not by doubling the salary. If you work for a business that is non-Muslim and they give you extra money on that day, not by that. This is not lawful for you, by the way. Because if you accept this wealth in this fashion, you are acknowledging their act, which is only being done as means of da'wah to you. Don't believe the hype, man. Don't believe they're so generous they're gonna give you extra money just for the sake of Allah. These people don't do anything for the sake of Allah. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفًا. But they didn't do that. They do it because it's subtle da'wah. Just like the Christian missionaries. They go to Africa, they go to the poorest countries in the world, and they give them food and different things, and they may not give them direct da'wah. They help them out financially. Any country that is poor, they help them financially, and they give them a gospel, a Bible, and then they hope that they will eventually come to Christianity. Don't think they do it fi sabilillah. They love the Muslims so much, mashallah, they're gonna travel thousands of kilometers to give us some food and drink. No, Habib. They do it as da'wah to their kufr and shirk. You need to understand that. So we learn from this then that we do not affiliate in this regard with anyone. But we often have a problem. The problem is when people... Here's what the non-Muslims do. During Eid, our Eid, what will he say? Eid Mubarak. Huh? He will make it a point during our Eid, the non-Muslim, he will make it a point to tell you happy holidays as means of showing that he cares for you. Sahih? He may send it in a card, he may tell it verbally, send a text message, email, whatever. What happens now? Now he has done a favor to you. He gave you happy holidays for your Eid al-Fitr, even though he doesn't believe or she doesn't believe in Eid al-Fitr. What do they expect in return? When it's their Eid, for you to do the same thing. They want you to say Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And what's the problem with you saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year? The problem is big. The problem is big. One of the du'at, may Allah protect him, he gave an excellent explanation, which we cannot find yet. There's no way except to repeat it. Let's look at things in a basic manner. If an act, any act, if it is not revealed by Allah, any act of worship that is not revealed by Allah, who is it from? If Allah didn't reveal something, who is the one behind inventing it? Shaytan. Ahsan. Sahih? Either it's from Allah. If it's not from Allah, it's from the shaitan. The shaitan will trick the people to come up with these different things because he wants to take them to Jahannam. Okay. The question is Christmas from Allah? Is it? If it's not from Allah, who is it from? Shaitan. So, if a non-Muslim, you know they are Satan worshippers? Ubad al-Shaytan, have you heard of them? They exist. Satanists. People who worship Iblis. Wal-iyadu billah. If he came and told you, happy Satan's Day, do you have the ability to say to you, to back to him, happy Satan's Day to you? Can you say to someone, happy Shaytan Day? Can you? You cannot. When you say Merry Christmas, you're saying the same thing. You're saying the same thing. Because Christmas is not from Allah, it means it's from Shaitan. And once you say to someone, Happy Christmas, you're saying Happy Satan's Day. Because who is having a blast? Who is enjoying the celebration the most? Shaitan. Because according to the people, the Son of God, wal-iyadu billah, was born on the 25th of December. So if you cannot tell a Satan worshipper Happy Satan's Day, do not tell a Christian Happy Christmas Day. or Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas or anything of the sort. Beautiful answer, man. Beautiful explanation. There's nothing you can say after this. This is why Ibn Qayyim said, rahimahullah, when you say to someone Merry Christmas, this is a greater sin than zina, adultery and fornication, than drinking alcohol and killing someone. It is greater in crime in the sight of Allah than all of these other crimes. Because you're telling this person, congratulations for your false religion, congratulations for claiming Allah begat a son, congratulations for celebrating something that Allah did not want you to celebrate, you're congratulating him upon all falsehood. This is like one of the employees at work, okay, he steals money, then he kills another employee to steal the money, okay, then he shoots the manager, he shoots him, and you come to work, say, congratulations, man. Congratulations for stealing the money, shooting the manager, and killing your colleague. By you saying to him anything of support, you're congratulating him for his crime. This is why you cannot say Merry Christmas to anyone, or Happy New Year to anyone, or Happy Valentine's Day to anyone, and the list goes on. You say, but what do I do? You have a few choices. A very good one would be honest. Be honest. Say to the person, let's say your cousin, your aunt, one of your family members who are Christians, Catholic Christians, Protestant, born again, whatever, they say Merry Christmas. And you're smiling. Say Merry Christmas. You're like, you don't want to say anything. Say, why don't you say Merry Christmas to me? And what are you going to say? Say, listen, I believe in saying things that I mean. I only say things that come from the heart. I don't like to be fake. I don't think it's okay to be fake, to be double-faced, to be a liar. Either I tell you what's in my heart or I keep quiet. When you tell me Merry Christmas, if you want me to say back to you Merry Christmas, either I believe in your religion, in this celebration, so I will say it from my heart, or I don't. And honestly, I don't. I don't believe that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. And so I don't want to tell you something that is not from my heart. I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be offensive. You're my aunt and I love you. But honestly, I like to be truthful. I don't believe in this celebration. I'm not going to just make you happy by saying something that I don't believe. Because this is a lie. This is a lie. And Islam teaches us to be truthful. Silencing. Most people will say, okay, thank you for being genuine. Thank you for being honest. Some people go crazy anyways, but you know, what can you do? But the idea is you have to have this kind of honesty in your approach. And then tell them, look, I'm willing to study. I'm saying right now, I don't celebrate Christmas because I don't know of it being from God. I don't know the history. Can you prove to me? Can you do the investigation for me so I can, you know, I can believe, I can see what to judge this celebration? As soon as they go back to their Christian sources, or even Google or Wikipedia, it will become clear to them that Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus, and that Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. It was the Roman God, the solar, the God of light, in the Roman pagan religion, who was born on the 25th of December, and the Christians brought it from them. Otherwise, in the Quran, we know that Maryam alayhi salam was told to وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِدْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيَّةِ. When are the fresh dates going to fall in the winter, the 25th of December? لا يا شيخ. Even in the Bible, there's no mention of Jesus being born on the 25th of December. And some of the denominations of Christianity, like the Armenian, they celebrate Christmas on the 6th of January. So there's no agreement among the Christians. So you use it to educate them. Say, look, you find the history, then come tell me. When they go look the history, they will know that they're celebrating a fabricated celebration. You've done your job. The same applies to all other festivities. In the second part of the khutbah, and it was short and brief, we were speaking to the Shabab, the youth of the ummah who have been misled, misguided, and tricked by the disbelievers to believe that honor and dignity lies in imitating the losers, and that loss and failure lies in imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is very common. It's a disaster, but it's the truth. People have, they're embarrassed to imitate the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, embarrassed. But if you tell them, this soccer player, this basketball player, this football player, this singer, this dancer, this hip hop star did this, ala tul, they will do it instantly, and they will feel good and proud. Yeah, I'm cool. No, you're not. Jahannam is not cool. And if you continue to do this, you will end up in Jahannam, and there will be no coolness for you. Coolness is in Jannah. And for you to really be cool, you have to be following the school of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't, you're not cool. You may think you're cool, but you're not. You may think you're cool, but the people who are really cool look at you and say you're not cool. Those who follow the sunnah, when they see those who don't follow the sunnah, they know, oh, he thinks he's cool. He's not cool. Until he follows the sunnah, he will never be cool. So don't be fooled by this cool stuff, man. If you really want to be cool, upon you is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Stop playing games with the deen. Allah sent one man, and told us if we follow him, we will go to Jannah. If we follow him, we will be guided. If we follow him, we will attain Allah's mercy. If we follow him, Allah loves us. And with all these promises, we don't follow him. Hajib, ya Shaykh. It's an amazing equation. How do we expect success and prosperity when we're going against the instructions which Allah gave us concerning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? So he told us to distinguish ourselves in everything, in your dress code, in your appearance, in your, every single thing. You have to be special as a Muslim and be proud. Be proud of being a Muslim. Don't be ashamed of your Islam. The Muslim who's practicing and is educated and knows what's going on is equal to 10 million kafir and more. They think that they're advanced because they do this, they know, but no, Habibi. They're not better than us in anything. Bring them in any field of life, we will defeat them. Anything they bring in life, we will defeat them. While keeping the Muslim identity. But to take it off and try to be with them and compete with them in their loss, in their dunya, then this is a loss. No, stick to your religion and advance in life. It doesn't mean if you wear Islamic clothing and you grow your beard, khalas, you're mutawwir. And if you're mutawwir, meaning you're ignorant, you're jahil. La, Habibi. No, we, the most knowledgeable people, are the practicing Muslims. You can do both. You can do both. And this is one of the most effective ways to da'wah. That you look like a practicing Muslim, and you're also ahead of everybody else in whatever Allah blessed you with. No one can play with you. In any field, say, hey, we know better than this. Computers, we know computers. What do you want? IT, we got the IT. Language, we got language. What do you want? So have this kind of attitude, so that when they see us, they will be afraid. They will have to dignify you, because Allah will give you that dignity. Allah will put izzah in you, so that the people are forced to respect you, even though inside they don't want to respect you. When do they laugh at you? When they know that you're trying to imitate them. This is when you become a place of ridicule. When they see that you're trying to be like them, look like them, dress like them, but you're not like them. They know you're not like them. Say, ah, look at this fake man, wannabe. They call these people wannabe. He wants to be, but he's not. So when the shabab wants to look like 50 halalas, you know, 50 halalas, 50 cents, Tupac, Biggie Smalls, you know, the big rappers. You want to look like them, but when they see it, they say, look at this Muslim man, loser, trying to look like me. Who is he? Drug addict, fornicator, loser. He has the nerve to say to Muslim, look at this loser, man, trying to look like me. Why would you put yourself in this predicament? Why would you be in this position? Don't give them any chance. Find honor in what Allah gave you and keep your distance, and Allah Azza wa Jal will make it happen for you. So the Shabab, you know, they need to realize this, because they're being attacked from everywhere to try to strap them of their identity. No, keep your Muslim identity. Follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and be the best Muslim you can be. We all have shortcomings. I'm the first one to speak. We're not perfect. We will not reach perfection. But try to represent Islam in your appearance while advancing in the dunya for the sake of Allah, so that you will be giving da'wah with your mouth shut. This is how you will win now, and you will win after you die. If you do it the reverse way, you will lose now, and you will lose in the life to come. This is the summary of the khutbah. Jazakum Allah khair for your patience and consideration to hear it out. And we look forward to seeing you in the future. Wa sallallahu wa sallam alayhi Muhammad. Wa sallamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بارك الله فيك.